I'm speaking to you on the subject of demons and demonology, and we gave an introduction. We showed out of the scriptures that this was at least one third of the ministry that Jesus had. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And the very first synagogue that we have recorded that he's teaching in the first chapter of the book of Mark, a man full of demons screams out in the middle of the service. And I wonder what would happen in some churches if that took place. But Jesus told the demon spirit to be quiet and come out of the man. The man fell on the ground, and with shrieks, the demons came out of him. And the Jewish people in the synagogue said, what kind of new teaching is this? That even the demons are subject unto him. And I gave some of my personal testimony on that theme. And then last week, we studied what really is a demon and what did they do. And we discovered they're not the same as fallen angels, but there's a vast army of fallen angels and demon spirits under Satan's government. And they come as he does, to kill and steal and to destroy. And they work in to entice and to enslave and to torment and to drive or compel, to defile and to harass. The Bible teaches us that if they are in somebody, we're to drive them out. We're not to have long conversations with them, but we're to drive them out. And if there's demon spirits that are coming to hassle somebody, not within them, but without them, the Bible says resist the devil or resist the demons and they will flee from you. So when they're within, we drive them out, and when they're without but still troubling, you resist them in the name of Jesus and they will flee from you. And so tonight we're going to continue. I want to speak to you about closing the doorways of demons. If we were in another country, there would be no question of the reality of demons and demon spirits. But in the United States and often in the Western world, people like to think that that is just stories from Grimm's fairy tales. Now there's something out of the Dark Ages kind of understanding. But Jesus was not in the Dark Ages. Every age he lives in becomes an age of light. And when he walked on the earth, he cast demons in every town and village that he went to. And he instructed his disciples to do the same. And they came back after being sent out and said, they came back with joy and said, even the demons were subject unto us. And then the Lord tells us that these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons and they shall heal the sick. And if they touch any evil or hurtful thing, it will not harm them. So many people in churches do not ever speak on this subject, do not focus on this subject. It's not seeker friendly, it's not politically correct, but it's certainly the ministry of Jesus and the early apostles. And those demons, millions of them that were on the earth in the time of Jesus, they didn't leave the earth. They're still here, and they hassle and live inside of people. And so it's our place to fulfill the ministry that Jesus has given us, to cast out demons and to take every stand against them. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about where they come from and how they get inside of people, or why do they hassle people. It was just Sunday morning when I got a phone call from somebody on the other side of the country who had never had this experience before in their lives. But a demon spirit appeared in their room. And this single woman was being attacked by a huge male demonic figure. And she was so frightened, she couldn't talk. And she kept telling me over the phone, she says, Dr. Wins, this was real. Now, I know this person's not a lunatic. I know that they're not strange. She just said, I can't tell you, this was not a dream. This was real. And she said, finally, I got to be able just to say the name Jesus, and this thing disappeared. And there's such power in the name of Jesus. I prayed with her over the phone, and when I go down to Florida, we will give some personal prayer and ministry to that situation. But how in the world can evil spirits or foul spirits, wicked spirits, unclean spirits, or demons, those are all different names for the same thing, how can they have a place in this world, and how can they interfere with people? And the answer is that they don't interfere, they don't live inside anybody, Christian or non-Christian, unless they have a legal access. Otherwise, everybody in the world would be demonized. But they just cannot jump into somebody and do their terrible things. But if a door opens that somehow welcomes a demon spirit, and there are places on the earth which we might call gates of hell. Jesus talked about gates of hell. He said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not overpower it. This church, and I trust many churches, are gates of heaven. They're gates where angels come and descend and ascend with purpose and messages and the power of God. And every church should be. Every home should be a gateway to heaven. But there are gateways of hell. And usually, I think it is such a stronghold. Usually it's a place where historically there has been human sacrifice. Places in South America this has happened. Places in Tibet and other places of darkness around the world. Places in England where there has been this kind of historical witchcraft that have emboldened demon spirits. And in those places, there's a lot of activity and a lot of trouble. You might say, well, what about haunted houses? And what about demonic people in the neighborhood? Those things are very, very real. And when you come into a home, you buy a home, you should bring the peace of God to that home. Because demon spirits, we discovered last week, were personalities. They have all the earmarks of having a will and having emotion and being able to speak having a determination. And those are characteristics of personalities. The Bible doesn't tell us where they originate from. But they are very different than angels. Angels fly in the heavenlies. They have wings. Demons don't. They roam around on the earth seeking a place, a body to live in. An angel, a fallen angel, or any angel, has no desire to live inside of somebody else's body. But demons, if they cannot live inside a human's body, they'll live inside an animal. And if you've seen a demonic cat hanging around in the neighborhood, there are some, for sure. And I've seen on a number of occasions demons inside of animals. And of course, it's biblical that the demons went inside the pigs. They actually begged Jesus to put them inside the pigs. So they're not fallen angels. Some people, in fact, Derek Prince would have taught that they come from a pre-Adamic race. This is not definitively in the scripture. There are hints to this. I can only give it to you as a possibility, but I cannot say definitively. Many theologians believe that there was a race on the earth before human beings were here. And when the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, if you actually look at the wording there, it's actually to remake the earth. And if you look into the original text. So many people believe that there was a race of human-like people on the planet, and they were completely destroyed, but the soul was eternal. And it's those souls of those that fallen pre-Adamic race that comprises the demons. I can't preach it as the absolute for sure truth. One day when we get on the other side, we'll find out if we really want to. Probably it won't make a bit of difference and we won't need to know. But that's one possibility of where they come from. For sure, as we've dealt with demon spirits over many, many years, they are just like spoiled children more than anything else, but they can be strong as can be. And so you need to take authority over them. I am not a deliverance preacher. I'm a minister of the gospel, and deliverance is one part of the gospel. And so we cannot fall off one side of the bicycle where we completely ignore the subject, nor do we want to fall off the other side and make it the theme of everything we do and see a demon behind every bush. In fact, most of you people should not have demons in your lives because you're saints of God and you've been walking with the Lord. But if you do, then we should deal with that. And I'm not going to get into, can a Christian have a demon? Certainly Christians can sin. Sin opens the door for this kind of activity. So when somebody has secret things going on in their lives, they can be somehow affected by demonic spirits that can get into their minds and get into their thinking and even into their physical bodies with sicknesses and so on. Jesus ministered first and foremost to Jewish people. He almost didn't minister to anybody who wasn't Jewish. And these were people who were people of faith. They believed in Abraham's God, and they followed the God of Abraham as well as they knew how. The common people received the word of Jesus, and yet he cast demons out of these same kinds of people. They were just average, normal people, but they had demon spirits. So let me tell you some of the ways that demon spirits can get inside a person. And you might be surprised by some of these. I'm not going to say them in any specific order, but when somebody faces immense trauma, their reactions to it can open themselves up to demonic activity. And I remember one occasion I took 12 people to India. We've been to India about 10 times. And years ago, we took a team of 12, and I can remember we were coming into this place called Sutton Pally, and we had a yellow school bus, and the roads are really bad, and we were just coming into this compound after a long, hot drive from a different town, and we came up to this compound where the church was and the pastor lived, and I walked to the front of the bus, and I was just getting off the bus, the door was open, the bus was just kind of stopping, and I stepped off, met the pastor, and he immediately took me to where the rooms would be so people could bring their luggage and put it in, and I went off with the pastor. But at that very moment, one of the ladies on our missions team was standing somewhere in the bus, and she reached up into that rack above the seats to pull her luggage down. At the same time, the wheel of the bus went into some deep hole, and this thing came crashing down and hit her in the temple right there. And she fell down, and they took her outside. And then somebody came and called for me. Pastor, please come. So-and-so is on the ground. And they told me the story, and I came, and she could speak, and she told me, I can't feel anything on the side of my body. There's complete paralysis on this kind of body. Immediately, she was lying on the ground, and I went and put my hand on her. I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of cobra, I break your power. I command you to come off of her. And immediately, all the feeling came, and she was completely well. It was instantaneous. We didn't know anything about this place, but as the day went on, the pastor told me, in this place, all of the people worship the cobra. The cobra is the deity. And that very night, when we were worshiping God and having a wonderful time with the whole church that was there in the city, and all of a sudden a lady came down the aisle. She was not walking down the aisle. She was slithering like a snake down the aisle. And as soon as the pastor, the apostle who I was with, the Indian brother, he looked over me and said, that's the spirit of cobra. And she came and sat on the front and pulled her sari over her head can somebody turn that off? Thank you. Pulled her sari over her head while we were worshiping the Lord. And then she started screaming out in Telugu, which was their language there. And the pastor said, she is now yelling, forgive me, Jesus, for I am a sinner. And so she was completely delivered and healed by the end of the meeting. Most people in that place that I prayed to lead to the Lord, without even talking about demon spirits, fall to the ground and demons start coming out of them. Almost everybody from India that I have prayed for salvation has an immediate deliverance. And so this spirit of cobra, although I didn't know that was the demonic spirit that ruled over this place, but it certainly, when I went to pray for this lady who was paralyzed on one side, it was a spirit of cobra that I rebuked, and it came right off her immediately. So trauma can happen. You need to understand that demon spirits don't play fair. They don't care about being fair. They will come after children. I've seen many children who go through a traumatic experience who all of a sudden cannot speak. Or they come under some kind of what, you know, the psychiatrist would say it's a psychological thing because of a fear that comes over them. But I say it is a demonic thing. And if you have a child that needs ministry and they're young, I would recommend that you minister to them while they are sleeping. And just come and lay your hands on them and minister and break every curse and every demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. And speak protection over those children. I remember one family who was in our church up in Canada. And this family had a lovely boy. The boy's name was Ben. And, I had married this couple and then dedicated their babies. And now Ben was about 6 years of age. And they came to me and they were all concerned because this little boy was just a lovely little boy. And every Sunday he'd come running up and give me a big hug. Hello, Pastor Peter. And she said, for the last week or so, he does not want to go to Sunday school. And he doesn't want to pray at our dinner table. And this is so unlike him. And I said, well, he has come under some kind of demonic attack. And I suggest to you, when he is in bed asleep, go and put your hands over him and pray over him and break the power of that demonic stronghold that's coming after that boy. And they did it. And instantaneously, the very next day, the boy was asking when he could go to church next and wanted to be the one to pray at every meal. And it was instantaneous, just like that. Jesus never ministered, prayed or cast demons out of a child except with the permission and the involvement of the parents. In fact, on one occasion, when a father brought a son, he said, Lord, if you are able, please heal my son. Fallen to the ground with kind of something like an epileptic seizure. And the Lord Jesus put it back on the parent, and he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. So you parents need to realize that the name of Jesus is so powerful. Take authority for your children. You are the guardians of your home. You are far more powerful than any demon spirit if you stand in the name of Jesus and by his blood and the work of his cross. So trauma is one way that will bring an open door for demons to come. Another way is abuse. And I'm kind of dealing with children, but abuse can go through any age group. People are abused when they're children, they're abused when they're teens, they're abused at college, they're abused as young adults, and grandparents can be abused. Anybody can find that another human being takes advantage of them, and in some way, whether it's sexual, whether it's verbal, but there can physical, there can be a sense of abuse. Even neglect is a type of abuse. Silence, the silent treatment, is a kind of abuse. And many people are suffering from abuse. And when a person is abused, they often will react in a normal human way to to become angry or to become embittered or to become fearful. And so when abuse comes, this is a doorway. As the people open themselves up with a strong sense of emotion to react to that abuse, then a demon spirit can come in. A spirit of fear, a spirit of rejection. People who were sexually abused when they were children, and they internalize something. And it's during that time and in the months of bitterness and anger that follow, there can often be a doorway that opens from in the demonic realm, and demons can come into people. It's especially true with the homosexual spirit. And homosexuality is a demon. It's a demon inside of somebody. Somebody might say, well, what if you were born that way? Well, that means that there's a generational curse that is in a family, and it needs to be broken. I've seen people who had that inclination be completely delivered and set free. Often somebody is not coming from a family that entertains that, but they go to one of our schools and they get into subjects like theater arts, where they are encouraged to experiment and have no boundaries. And so they experiment in some kind of homosexual activity. And when they do, a doorway will open and a spirit will come in. And then that spirit will work with their appetites to want more of that. And so somebody who is not in a homosexual home and wasn't born that way can become that way because they cross a line and a door opens and an evil spirit comes. So often they say that those who have been abused become abusers. And it's because of the spirit, the evil spirit that comes because of that abuse. And so as parents, we have to give so much protection to our children. And it's often somebody who we think would be an innocent friend who can actually do damage. And it's more than just physical. It has demonic things attached to it. And then the third way, so it's trauma and abuse, that the third way that somebody can have a demon is because of sin. And the two main sins that will bring this are usually, the ones that are most common, are sexual perversions, such as adultery, and worse, and then the occult. And these are sins. It's when we do something that's a transgression against people and against God. It goes against, violates our conscience in the beginning. Once somebody continues to sin, their conscience becomes defiled and it no longer tells them it's wrong. Their conscience becomes adjusted. It moves from being a good conscience and a pure conscience to being a defiled conscience, to becoming an evil conscience, to becoming a seared conscience. So that's a progression into darkness as a person's conscience changes because of what they allow. And if you continue to allow something that's wrong, after a while you'll make so many excuses for it that you'll say it's not wrong anymore. But that sin becomes a doorway for demon spirits. And there is a list of certain kinds of sins that bring a judgment called a curse. And you can read them in Deuteronomy chapter 27. It says, cursed is the man who is involved in witchcraft. Cursed is the man who dishonors his mother and father. Cursed is the man who is crooked in business. Cursed is the man who mishandles or abuses orphans and widows and immigrants who come to the land or the poor. And cursed is the man who gets involved in sexual perversions such as incest or bestiality or adultery. And cursed is the man who sheds innocent blood, such as a hired assassin. And cursed is the man who commits murder. So this involves abortion. So whenever these kinds of sins, and that's just a partial list of certain kinds of sins that the Bible says are an abomination to the Lord, they will bring an open door for curses. A judgment will come on you. Once there's a judgment on your life, demons will come. They will come because they can, because they have a legal right to come, because there's a judgment on your life. And so demons can come where there is trauma. They can come where there's abuse. They can come where there is curse-causing sins. Now, one other way that demon spirits can come is when a person sits under the authority of somebody who is preaching heresies or is part of the cults or the occult. Because when you open yourself up to receive certain teaching, Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you bring into your home. Bring not the abominable thing into your home, lest you become like it. So if you sit under certain kind of movies or television programs that are demonic, that thing can come. You know, if I'm watching TV and even if there's a commercial about witches, especially this time of the year, I have to switch the channel because that thing's not coming into my home. I stop it right on the spot because there are a lot of things I can see, you know, in some, you know, action movies and stuff that I'm fine with. But when it comes to witchcraft and the occult, I am not fine with it. And it's not allowed in my home. And if it was an innocent kind of thing for children, but still had witchcraft in it, it's not an innocent thing. The Harry Potter kind of movies, can open the door for demonic activity because you are looking to things. Maybe not everything in those movies happens, but enough of what's going on in those movies is real enough and genuine enough. It really does happen in this world. And so you have to take a stand and to say, no, I won't allow that to come. Now, in terms of sin, let's talk about the occult, the cults and the occult. The occult is outright witchcraft, and it includes false religions. But cults, which we'll talk about cults first, are people who claim to be Christians, but they have damnable heresies that they teach, that they believe themselves, and they teach. Those are called doctrines of demons. So be careful about sitting under a pastor or a teacher that is teaching heresy. Let's look at this in the scripture together. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So there are heretical teachings that in the last days especially, there's an emphasis here that as we get to the end of the age, there will be an increase of cultic and occultic activity. In the book of Revelation, halfway through the Great Tribulation, when so many catastrophes and judgments and catastrophic wars and earthquakes and plagues have hit the earth, many, many people, in fact, the majority of people will give their lives to the Lord during that time. The greatest revivals of all will take place at that time. But it says, but there'll still be some people who refuse to bow their knee to the Lord and who practice witchcraft and sorcery and demonic things. So even at the end of the age, when supposedly our society is becoming more educated, more intellectual, we will delve into two passions. If we don't follow the ways of the Lord, there will be two passions, and one will be sexual perversions, and the other will be the passion of the occult and the draw into that. So there, you're either going to have, at the end of the age, a passion for the devil or a passion for Jesus. And there, it'll come to the time when the gray between the two, not very many people will be in the gray zone. They're either going to be black or white in terms of whether they're following the ways of the devil and being involved in the occult, or they're involved in a passion, a passionate love for Jesus. So we read there that there's seducing spirits. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. In some translations, it says damnable heresies. A damnable thing is something that will send you to hell. It's a damnation. And that actually literally means that it's a teaching that will put you in hell. And it says that there are prophets who are not prophets of the Lord, but they're in the church. This is in the context that they would be in the church. They're false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And they will secretly introduce destructive heresies or damnable heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth to disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So this is a cult. And of course, a cult doesn't flash and say, I'm a cult, stay away. It comes with a seducing spirit. It comes with a deceiving spirit. It comes sounding like it's okay. But if you sit under that, you will sit under the doctrines of demons. When you sit under the doctrine of demons, you're likely to get demonized. You've opened up yourself to receive authority and teaching from a spiritual level that doesn't come from God. So there are many churches around the United States who break the laws of God in their teaching. They make an excuse. They bring it across. In fact, you know, there are certain news broadcasters who will stand for life and be against abortion, and be against, and before the family, and before many other things. But I'm yet to see a modern day news broadcaster take an issue with homosexuality, because it's not popular. 30 years ago, they could have done it. But now, anybody who takes that stand, and in the universities, every person, I'm not talking about a Christian university, but in the secular university, everybody knows some people in their class who have a gay lifestyle. And those people come across very nice, maybe very helpful, very serving, very sweet. So if they're that nice and sweet, then it must be okay. That must be fine. But the Bible says it's a damnable heresy. And this starts to get taught in our churches, churches that started in revival, in moves of the Holy Spirit, now will condone things such as homosexuality. And if you sit under that, a deceptive demonic spirit will start messing with you and start making it look like this is just fine, because those are nice people afterwards. Live and let live. There'll be all kinds of reasons why you can shift in that way. But the Bible teaches something different. And many people can have demonic activity in their life, can become demonized just because of the church they go to. They don't have to go to the world or to a horror movie or to a seance. They can go to church and get demonized. If damnable heresies and doctrines of demons are being taught. Now, we have never been a legalistic church. There's lots of room for different understandings of the scripture. And I love all the people of God who stand by the basic tenets of the faith. The virgin birth of Christ. The Trinity. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The fact that only in His name can a person be saved. That there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That there are angels and demons and heaven and hell. There are some basic teachings in the scripture that when those teachings get twisted or warped or changed, then that is called heresy. False teaching coming from false prophets. And the Bible says they bring upon themselves a swift destruction. But you have to be careful about what you're sitting under. And so if you have in your history some kind of doctrine or church affiliation that taught heresy, and you came under that authority, then you might need some brainwashing. You might need to get your brains washed. You might need your heart washed. You might need some cleansing. So then there's false religions. And false religions, there's many of them in this world. Buddhism, Hinduism. There's all kinds under different names. Those are Islam. Those are the main ones. But there's thousands of smaller ones. And if they deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, and they deny that Jesus is the Son of God, then they are what we know as an antichrist spirit. And in Jesus' time, the Bible teaches us that there were many antichrists already in the world. An antichrist spirit will come to reduce Jesus to being just human, just a teacher, just a prophet. It is not good enough for Muslims or Hindus to say, well, we have a great respect for Jesus. We know that he was a great teacher and a great prophet. That is not good enough. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that doctrine itself is mentioned in 1 John chapter 2. You go to verse 18 to 22 and in 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. And there you will find that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And that spirit that does not say that Jesus the Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It is an antichrist spirit. So that is another way that demons can come. Now I want to talk to you about the occult. Because many people get involved in the occult and they don't realize how dangerous it is. I know of no other experience that will bring demons into your life more rapidly than being involved in the occult, witchcraft. So let's look at some of this. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, we find a partial list. In verse 9, the Lord says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone, say anyone, who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Specifically speaking, when it comes to the occult, you must be blameless. You can't have any of this in your life. Come with me to the book of Isaiah, and we read a little bit more on the subject. It's actually a sarcastic kind of verse here where the Lord is saying, okay, you go on, you people who worship the devil, go on and get involved in all of these things. And it says in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 12, keep on then with your magic spells, with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. What do you call predictions month by month that are based on the stars? Horoscopes. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they will be like stubble. The fire will burn them up. So here is a list between these two scriptures. We can find a list of the occult. It is practicing with the Ouija board, role playing in demonic games, including Dungeons and Dragons, going to a fortune teller that can read your fortune either with tea leaves or looking at your hand or tarot cards, getting involved in hallucinatory drugs, can also just leave your mind in such a vulnerable state that you welcome demon spirits. Being with a medium, somebody who is going to speak spiritual things and talk with people who are dead. It's called necromancy. Going to a seance. Clairvoyance, who people who connect with the spirit world. Certain kinds of meditation can open you up for demonic activity. Now, it's not wrong to meditate, to think on something. You're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. But if you get into transcendental meditation, where you open up your mind to meditate on a spirit world, and it's not on the Lord Jesus, you're going to open up yourself to demon spirits. Often, Oriental cults and philosophies from the Far East that will involve things that might in themselves be innocent, but because of the way they will connect religion with it, they become an avenue or a doorway for the demonic. Even things like yoga or acupuncture, which exercising and recognizing that there are different centers in your body that are trigger points, all of those things are fine. But when there's a spiritual component that goes along with that, it becomes a doorway for demons to come inside of people. Even things like hypnosis will do the same. So any kind of spiritual activity that is not directly involving the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Bible is a form of witchcraft. And there's a lot of people who talk about a spirit guide. They might not even use that terminology, but they say that somebody comes to them in their dreams, or somebody they can talk with from time to time to get counsel from. It's a demon spirit, and it's forbidden. The Lord says all of these things are detestable to the Lord and an abomination. So behind every idol in India, for example, there is a demon spirit. They say there's 10 million gods in India, and they are represented by so many different idols. In Africa, they have animism and a worship of the ancestors. And all of these things, whenever you worship, it has 1,000 different faces. But whenever you go to another source other than the living God for spiritual counsel, advice, or input, you open yourself up to the occult. And when you do, behind every one of those is a demon spirit that will come. Once a demon spirit comes inside of somebody, deception will come. They will not realize that they are being deceived. They will see only the good side of something. They will have a good explanation, all in the name of humanism or fairness or being open-minded, and be full of demon spirits before long. It is the most dangerous thing for somebody to get involved with the cults or the occults. So let's just take a little review now. Demon spirits can come inside a person because of trauma. It's not so much the trauma, but the response to the trauma that opens a person up to demon spirits. And another way that demon spirits can come, a second way, is when they are abused. Abuse will open the door for demon spirits to come. A third way is sin, especially those kinds of sins that have a curse attached to them. And a curse will go to 3 or 4 generations. It tells us that in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, tell us that God is a jealous God, judging and putting judgments on the children for the father's sins up to the 3rd and 4th generation. So there is a, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, there is a generational curse that is taught. And it's taught throughout the whole Bible. And it comes because of certain kinds of sins. And whenever you pray, you roll out the red carpet for angels. If you pray powerfully, if you have impassioned prayer that hits the target and lines up with God, you solicit angels from heaven to come to your side to help you where you need it. But if you enter into sin that is a diabolical sin, a sin of great darkness, then the angels will back off, but the demons will come, because there will be a judgment, a curse. And when that judgment is there, demons are emboldened. They have legal right and legal opportunity to come and mess with you. So those are the main reasons that people have demon spirits. And then there's the cults coming under Christian teaching that breaks the tenets of the faith and are heretical teachings. You sit under that, and this can open the door for demon spirits. And then lastly, the occult getting involved with false religions or witchcraft, outright witchcraft, can be a form that will open up the doorways for demons. I want to say one other. There's a kind of witchcraft which can come from a person who seems in every way to be a good Christian. We might call it a Jezebelic spirit, somebody who has a controlling spirit. Pastors should not be controlling, and nor should church workers. Intercessors should not be controlling. If there's controlling going on in this church, I would like to know about it. I don't like it. I don't think it comes from God. You might say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't control people. The Holy Spirit leads people, but leaves the choice up to you. He wins you by His love. So whenever there is a controlling personality, it's a kind of witchcraft. It's a spiritual power that some people have over other people to make them do what they want to do, and they can do it religiously. It's a form of witchcraft. So, what do we do? Well, tonight, we want to renounce every kind of witchcraft or sinful thing or doorway of darkness that could possibly open a way, a passageway for demonic spirits. And we want to renounce them. We want to repent of them. There are four main reasons why people do not receive deliverance when they need it. First of all, it's because they haven't got true repentance. Some people say, well, can a Christian have a demon? Should we cast demons out of Christians? Well, there's no point in casting a demon out of anybody who's not a Christian. If you cast a demon out of somebody who's not a Christian and they don't become a Christian, the Bible says that seven times worse demons will come back into that person. So just because somebody is demonized doesn't mean I want to cast demons out of them. I want to know, first of all, if they're Christians. And so true repentance and walking with God is vital. There's a reason why some men and women of God will not pray for somebody anymore, because they've prayed many times for somebody who's gone secular. They've gone around in a circle, back like a dog returning to its vomit, and each time they come for prayer, they're more messed up than the time before. And so after a while, they say, you know what? If I clean you out and seven times worse comes to you, that's not a good end product. So let's have some true repentance, turning away from the sinful lifestyle before we enter into this. So true repentance must come. And then secondly, a failure to confess certain sins, particularly, and I say this because it's common, adultery and abortion. And I'm not saying you need to tell everybody, but you have to confess your sin before the Lord. And there might be a person that you really trust, not the whole church, please, but a person who will be there for you. And, you know, when people come to me and they tell me of some dreadful things from their past, I'm not sharing it with anybody. In fact, if you do something good, I'll probably remember it for 10 years. But if you do something really bad, I might not remember it next week. I don't have a catch basin for this. I have an exit door. I find that information. I want to deal with it. And then it's as if it never happened to me. So the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So some people might need to do that. The third way that a person doesn't get deliverance when needed is because they don't forgive others. Unforgiveness is a prison both for yourself and the person that you're not forgiving. If you want to really come into sickness and deep destruction quickly, become embittered because somebody hurt you and refuse to forgive them. And then the last reason out of these four why a lot of people aren't getting delivered is because they fail to break completely with the occult. Things like Freemasonry. A lot of Christians still believe it's good. Depending on what kind of church you go to. Usually when I go to those churches, they detect it very early on in my preaching. It's like radar start going off. I've preached in places in the South where they used to tell me how wonderful the Ku Klux Klan were. Sit down and have a meal, and they say, you know, the Klan wasn't all bad. And I said, oh, yes, it was. It's from hell. It's so demonic. Amen. I knew I was sitting with a Klan's member. And I said, if any of you have any of that in your house, a ring, a book, a stamp, I said, let's burn it now. Give it to me. I'll get rid of it for you. I've had people actually bring whole Masonic books and rings, gold, pure gold rings and things, and say, here, Pastor, I don't want these anymore. And I would just say, come on, let's take it to a dumpster that's going to move out of here real quick. I don't want it. And I don't want you to sell it and give it to somebody. It's time to cut your losses, clean your house. So if you have anything like that in your home, even if it could be something that could show up on the Antiques Roadshow and be worth thousands of dollars, it's not worth it. It's demonic. It's a charm. It's a touch point for demonic activity. You cannot afford it. If you have dragons in your home, Buddhas in your home, things that have to do with witchcraft. Get rid of those things. If you have horror movies in your movie stack, throw them in the garbage. Well, we've talked enough about this now. Now it's time for us to pray. And I just want to pray over you right now. And then if you would like specific prayer, we're just going to pray over people, and I want to lead you through a prayer of deliverance tonight, and then personally pray over you if you would like that. Would you please stand? I'm just going to pray first, and then I'm going to lead you through prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. I thank you for the power of the cross. I thank you that one drop of the blood of Jesus is more powerful than all the demons in hell. I thank you that there is no God like the living God, that there's nothing difficult for him to do, that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We acknowledge you, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we take all authority as you've given it to us to see that your people are pure and clean and walking in the goodness of the Lord. Tonight we receive your anointing for all that needs to be done. And we thank you for the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit and the work of salvation at Calvary. We give you all praise and glory. Father, we say we have no God like the God of the Bible. We have no other gods before us. We hate the devil and we hate all of his ways. We hate his demons. We hate his fallen angels. We hate sin. We renounce the occult. We will have nothing to do with these things. Lord, we worship you alone, for you are the only one who is awesome, the only one who is worthy of worship. We praise you. And now as we, each of us, take a place to pray before you, I ask, Lord, that any demonic strongholds be broken, every place of darkness be rooted out, every open doorway that the demons might move through to hassle your people. Lord, I ask those doorways to be closed. And I ask for spiritual activity now, the work of the Holy Spirit. We welcome your angels to fill this place now. We welcome the power of the Holy Spirit. We welcome the sword of the Lord. We welcome the fire of the Lord God. We welcome the river of your anointing. We speak it all in Jesus' name. Now I'd like you to pray a prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for me. Tonight I rededicate my life to you. I renounce the occult. I renounce sin. I renounce every evil thing. I renounce heresies and false teaching. I renounce ungodly leaders and controlling spirits. And I open myself up now for the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb and the work of your cross. Hallelujah.